For the word I believe the Lord has put on my mind to bring before you, you will find in the chapter that we read, the prophet Micah chapter 7 and verse 9. The ninth verse in the seventh chapter of the prophet Micah. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness. I would just say before I come to the text that those words that you read in the verse 8, I believe the Lord spoke those words to me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. What a great favour to have one. One that is ever near. One that upholds and strengthens his people. Because we, you know, we have many falls left to ourselves. We have to prove our weaknesses before him. Prove that we are, in and of ourselves, helpless creatures, needing him continually to uphold and strengthen us and lead us by his good spirit into his truth, that we may be brought into the knowledge and the understanding of ourselves, knowing that we cannot produce anything that is acceptable to him, not of ourselves. Well, we come to the tower, we'll bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. And what a favour it is to be brought there to realise and understand that we are sinners and that we have not anything that we can bring before God which is acceptable to him, and to be brought to fall under his word. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. To be brought, you know, like the prodigal son. He went out, didn't he? Full of himself. Yes, could manage his own affairs, as he thought. But he returned a different man. Yes, he returned, and he had to confess, didn't he, that I have sinned and sinned against heaven and earth, and not worthy to be called thy son. Do we know anything of these things that we have been brought humbly before our God, knowing that we justly deserve his rod and his wrath? I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. To be brought to know that we are sinners, and sinners of the deepest dye. Yes, the dying thief was brought there, wasn't he? Yes, he said, this man has done nothing amiss, but we justly deserve that condemnation which was there, was his due. Oh, what a favour to be brought humbly before our God, pleading with him for mercy and forgiveness, knowing that we justly deserve his indignation and his wrath because we have sinned And you know we oft times to our shame, we're pointing at others, aren't we, what they've done, and forgetting the things that we've done. How we have oft times, you know, wandered from him and forgotten him, days without number. Although there's many about round about us do not attend the place of worship. No, but we attend one, but how oft times do we come in that great need of him, that he may rule and reign within our hearts, that he may grant to us more of his grace, and that true and living faith to believe and to trust in him, knowing that we cannot do anything in and of ourselves, and that we are sinners, and sinners of the deepest dye, justly deserving to be cut off as cumbers of the ground. Well, the prophet knew it, didn't he? He said, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause. Oh, to be brought to realize that there is one to whom we can approach, unto who will plead our cause, and how great our cause is, because life, eternal life, rests upon it. Yes, eternal life. It's either we're saved or we're lost. There's no place in between. No, we need one, don't we, to plead before our God, our cause, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. Ah, we all have got to come before the judgment seat of God. We shall stand before him just as we are. Yes, just as we are. There'll be no covering up of anything, because his eye seeth us. He knoweth the hearts of all men. There's nothing now can be hid from him. Therefore, we need one, don't we, to plead our cause and to execute judgment for me, yes, and for you. Now we need one, and there is one. To whom are we looking? Are we looking to our own ways and our own doings? Looking to our own judgment, judging ourselves that we are different to others, better than others perhaps? We got to be brought to realize what we are in and of ourselves. It's not those round about us. It's an individual thing. It is, we got to stand before our God just as we are. Yes, seeking that he may plead our cause, and that he came, didn't he, into this world to plead with his heavenly Father for those to whom he had given to him that number that no man can number. Now, is it our concern that we are one of that number? Because until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, plead our cause. Now we need him to plead for us, don't we? Yes, plead to his heavenly Father that we are those to whom whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, to know that he came into this world to seek and to save those that are lost, those that are lost in and of themselves, not those that are righteous in their own eyes, for he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, and that the Lord may grant to us that godly repentance for all our sins. For he declared himself when he was upon this earth, unless ye repent and become as a little child, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we need to come, don't we, as a little child before him. And what can a child do? Not a lot, can it? But one thing it can do, and that is cry. Cry, yes. Cry unto him, and you will, if you're one of his, you'll cry continually to know how you stand before an holy God. Whether you have those right and those credentials within you which will take you to be with him, which will be far better. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light. Bring me forth to the light, yes. We walk in darkness, don't we, when left to ourselves? Yes. They that walk in darkness have seen a great light, we read in his word. Have you seen that light? Has that been made manifest to you? That true light that shines into our hearts, grants to us that true understanding of these things, that we may be brought to realize and understand what we are before him. Open up to us what we are in and of ourselves. You'll be brought as the prophet of old when he declared that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And when that true light shines, it is to shine into our hearts and open up to us what we are. He will bring me forth to the light, and bring us forth to that true light. And he is that light, that true light, that shines into the hearts of his dear people. Yes, and that will be your desire and your longing, that he may shine into your heart, that you may behold him, not with your natural eyes, but the eye of living faith, to believe in him and trust in him, that you may be enabled to cast your cares and your concerns into his kind and gracious hands, that you may know more and more of his presence, that you may be enabled to walk with him. Yes, you know, I often think of that hymn which we sometimes sing, and what a blessed place it is. With him I daily love to walk. Is that your concern, to daily walk with him, to know that true light that shines into your heart, that you might be possessor of those blessed promises that he has promised to his people, to those that sincerely look to him? With him I daily love to walk, on him my soul delights to talk. Now where is our conversation oft times? Is it about him, or is it in the world? Is it about worldly things or what we're going to do? We can attain to this and that and the other. The hymn writer of "Hear My Soul" delights to talk, and that will be when that true light shines into your heart and opens up to you your that understanding. You will want to talk of Him, of what He has done, and what He means to His poor and dejected people, those that know that they are sinners, and sinners of the deepest dye, those that need to be washed in that precious sin atoning blood that He shed on Calvary's tree, and to be clothed in that spotless righteousness that He wrought out. On Him I cast my every care, like Him one day I shall appear. What a mercy if we can say that. Like Him one day I shall appear. We shall, if we are being led by His good Spirit into those paths whereby He makes Himself known unto His people, when He smiles upon them, grants to them more of His grace, that free favour of God, and when we are brought to realise of what it cost Him to redeem His people, that will put you in your right place. When you are brought to realise that righteousness, then you will be made obedient. You will be able to say, "I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from Thee." You'll be made a true follower of the meek and lowly Jesus. You won't be ashamed to own Him as your Lord and your Master. No, you'll be made willing to walk in His ways. Yes, you will. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold His righteousness. His righteousness, not yours. For our righteousness is, as one says, as filthy rags. Behold His righteousness. Yes, to be clothed in that spotless robe of righteousness. And what a cost it was, wasn't it? What it cost Him, it cost Him His life's blood. What suffering He undertook to rescue ruined sinners. Yes, forsaken of His God. We, in our measure, shall have to walk oft times in those paths whereby we feel to be alone, but not alone. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against Him until He plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold His righteousness. To behold Him, a man, there is a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, whose rich blood once ran. I can't quite repeat it now, but anyhow, you know the hymn perhaps better than what I do. But to behold that man, a real man, Yes, to behold him by precious faith, standing in our room, place and stead, clothed in that spotless righteousness that sinners such as we may go free, free from that great debt which was ours. We need to be clothed. Oh, we do. You know, Adam and Eve, before they fell, they knew not that they was naked until they fell in sin, because God said to them, "Who told you you was naked?" We need to be brought there to realize that we are naked before him, and we need that spotless righteousness, that robe that he wrought out for his people's sake, that they might go free, free from that wrath which is our due. You know, if we have a view of him by precious faith, hanging upon that accursed tree, that will break your heart. We will, to see him there. Yes, hanging there is a spectacle, but oh, the love, when he declared, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Does he mean anything to us? Is he become the one thing needful? Are we, or do we oft times come to that place whereby Mary was? After his resurrection, when she went into the garden to find him, oh, how she wept. Where have they laid him? Is that our desire, to find him, to know where he is, to see him by precious faith as our God? And oh, the love, when he spoke to her, when she at last met with him, he said, "Go and tell my disciples and Peter." He didn't forget Peter, although he denied him. Oh, the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. May he shed his love abroad in our hearts. And may we be found acceptable unto him, clothed in that spotless righteousness, and made acceptable unto his heavenly Father in and through him, and is only through him, through his suffering, his death and resurrection. Now he is an exalted Saviour, a Prince and a Saviour, that great High Priest above, of whom we can approach unto at any time. Well, I see the time's gone just briefly over that, but there's such a depth in it, especially when we are brought to realize and understand more and more of what we deserve and what our Lord and Saviour has undertook when he undertook to rescue ruined man, for we are ruined in and of ourselves. Yet he undertook that cause and came down and took upon a body like your own. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty may be made rich. John, you know, on the Isle of Patmos, when one said to him, who are these? These are they that have come out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Shall we be numbered with them? Is it your desire to be numbered with them now and in eternity? It's my desire. Yes, and we, you know, this does not confine us to ourselves alone, but it will make or grant to us enlargement of those things that the Lord has shown to us, those blessings, those rich blessings, if he has drawn near to us and showed himself through the lattice that that he is ours. You know, it will, I said, grant to us enlargement. You'll want others brought into that same spot and place that they may behold him. You will. Your prayer will not only be for yourselves, it will be for others also, that they may be brought there to rejoice in his dear name. They will. May it be so in our midst, that we may be built up, that others may know and hear his voice speaking unto them, that they may be brought to know that righteousness which is his and his alone. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to these few remarks for his name's sake. Amen.
Jesus Christ, our Lord,
Dear Lord, do forgive anything that's been said wrong. That which has been right belongs entirely to Thee and Thee alone. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion of Thy blessed Spirit, abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.